Bane, reel 6.
So I said, well, he said, I just wanted when I was in the district to see some of the Highland Division. So I said, all right, the nearest battalion is the 6th Gardens, but I said, it's about 2 miles away. We need to ride over on ponies. So Louis Gregg said, oh, well, have you got any quiet ponies? Because I'm responsible for His Highness. And I said, oh, but that'd be all right. So I sent word for the charters to be brought to the headquarters, and they went out, and there were 4 of them, and one was a little polo pony, only about 14 hands high, neat little thing, and then the other 2 were just the common or garden chargers. So when we went out, I said to Prince Albert, I said, now look here, you can have your picket. Oh, he said, could I have that wee one? I said, oh, certainly. I said, it's just come home from India. It was a brigade major who was on leave just now, had just brought it, and it's only been here for about a month. I said, it's very frisky and very, oh, he said, I would love that. So I said, all right. So Louis Gregg said, you sure it's all right? I said, well, leave it to him. We'll see how he gets on. So Louis Gregg said, well, for God's sake, give me a safer one than that, because if I can't ride, I would fall off. I said, all right, so got him onto one of the older chargers. And I said, well, we've got to go across now. We've got to cross the canal here. It was a pontoon bridge. And it was just a series of wooden barges strung together. And when the horses went onto them, of course, the hoofs, it was just like working a kettle drum. And Prince Albert, he was all in front. This little pony was dancing about in its tiptoes, you see, and he was managing it all right. He had a beautiful hand touch. He could just handle the pony beautifully. And we came to this pontoon bridge, and the pony got on. It started to rump-tump-tump, rump-tump-tump at the top of the pontoon, you see. And Louis Gregg's, oh, my God, he said, bring him back, bring him back. I said, no, leave him alone, he'll manage. So with that, we all got over the pontoon, and away we went. And of course, once we got down to the rougher ground, the polo pony just ran away from everybody, you see. And we got over and saw the 6th Gardens, and then we came back, and Louis Gregg said, why don't you go over that bridge again? I said, yes. Oh, he says, I'm frightened. I said, never mind, you just follow the crowd. Your horse will be all right now. So we went back over, and we got back to headquarters. Prince Albert got out. He says, you know, this is the finest day I've spent since I came out to France. He says, I've enjoyed this better than anything else. Can I come back again? I said, of course, come back any day you like. I said, I can't promise that you'll get that pony, because I said, if its owner's back, he'll be ready himself. Oh, he said, that bill. He said, but I would love to come back. He never managed to get back to see it again. Mm. But he remembered that, because he came later as Duke of York. He came to Stirling to open the Royal Infirmary, he and the Duchess of York, now the Queen Mother. And after the opening of the infirmary, we went up to the castle, and I was speaking to her. I said, do you remember the wee polo pony? Oh, yes. Oh, she said, it was you. Oh, he says, that was a grand day. He had remembered it quite well. Mm. The little polo pony.
That's a nice story. Another highlight of your experiences was the first occasion you saw an enemy tank. I wonder when that happened. When that happened, had you previously learnt much about tanks?
We knew nothing. We didn't know what tank meant. I mean, we're as ignorant as we thought it referred to some unit like the Naval Division. The 63rd Division was called the Naval Division. And we thought tank was some name for a new division that had been formed. We hadn't the least idea. And we'd read about in the papers about tanks being made in Britain, but we didn't know what they were. However, we were holding this line, and one day an alarm got up, and we saw this thing trundling through, and we were firing with nothing but small arm ammunition, of course, it was no use against tanks. And they were blaring away at that, and it came lumbering on and lumbering on, and we were holding, there was a sort of depression, and the tank went down into the depression, and fortunately this was mossy, soft ground, and it got stuck, it got grounded there. And of course, whenever it got grounded, or got round about it, one of the men was going to threw one Mills bomb at it, and it bust, you see. With that, the tank crew gave up, and they came out and handed over.
What sort of impression did it make on you when you first saw it?
It was terrifying, because I think we couldn't stop it. There were no anti-tank guns in those days, and rifle bullets just went out, skidded off them like peas, you see. And it was rather terrifying to see this thing coming, and you knew that you couldn't stop it.
Mm. Another of the innovations of the war, which you also saw for the first time when you were in France, was the German flamethrowers.
The Flammenwerfer.
Yes.
Oh, they were terrifying.
Where and how did you meet those?
Well, we managed to drive them back by nailing the crews, shooting at the crews. But as they came on, they really were terror. This just a sheet of flame coming in front, you see, and smoke and that sort of thing. And the German crews sort of going on behind, feeding the thing up. And the only way to stop them was to kill off the crews.
Mm.
And we managed to stop them before they really got into our trenches. But it was rather terrifying to see them coming.
Mm.